press and City Hall types aren't exactly thrilled when you take to the airwaves to spout off and tell it like it is on WVOX, now Westchester's only community station.
1460 WVOX.
You walk into the room with your pencil in your hand. You see somebody naked and you say, who is that man? You try so hard, but you don't understand just what you will say.
914-636-0110. I'm told Miriam's on the line. Get to her right now. Miriam?
Yes, hi, how are you?
How you doing?
How you doing, Miriam?
I'm good. So, listen, I was actually listening to the program from 3 to 4, and the board president was on there, Will Iannuzzi. And, you know, he mentioned a couple of things regarding, first of all, part of that referendum, I hear a baby. Is
That's me coughing, sorry.
Part of the referendum that they're asking us to approve
the bond,
is...
The bond, right? The bond.
The bond, yeah. Right. Is the, there's in there like about $3 million, I think, at least, where they want to purchase property by Columbus, right, and tear down some now housing that is probably affordable for folks and tear that down and turn it into a parking lot because they're having parking issues over at Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that, and I think that we could probably figure out some things that need to be done to resolve that without spending $3 million
of course.
To take away homes that are affordable and build a parking lot.
How about we help them do a carpool?
I'm sorry?
How about we help them do a carpool?
Of course.
There's carpool that could be done, but more realistically, is I know lots of times we say, okay, you know, for safety reasons, we want everyone to come in through one door.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that you create these bottlenecks.
Of course.
And so those things, and then they're like, oh, well, we need to pay an engineer to do a traffic study.
Oh,
like,
on.
We don't need to pay engineering to do a traffic study. We've created our own bottleneck.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. There's no reason why we can't put the same computer system that you have in one door at several doors so that people can access it from different directions that they're coming from that are closer to their home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why I am not going to be voting for this budget. The other piece that's in there is this $12 million that they, again, are floating out as for we need vestibules to keep the building safe. $12 million. And I say to them, if vestibules are so important and so key to the safety of the schools, then the ones that have inherently built vestibules now, like the high school, when you walk into the high school at the embassy, you have a space before you get to the second door.
Mm-hmm.
They
yes.
could use that and use it as a vestibule.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they don't use it. They have the doors wide open and now are asking for $12 million as this is the key to us keeping our kids safe.
Of course.
And then the information is presented to the board in such a way that, you know, they feel that they're knowledgeable about what it is, but it's not. Because one of the things that I remember is all of Carl Bernoff, he spent $5,000 per door, replacing every door in the
mm-hmm.
school district. $5,000 per door
mm-hmm.
for supposedly safety reasons, and now the doors are totally dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
They close without you know, like you can't prop them open. They were supposed to retrofit them to have them prop open. They want the teachers outside, but the doors will lock the teachers outside or take somebody's hand off.
Yes,
and they had to put in this new change policy in the doors to harden the doors so that the teachers remember to take a little screen down if there's an active shooter. When if I just spent $5,000 for the door, when I lock that door, that screen should come down on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Miriam. Let's admit it. If this were a private corporation, there would be a stockholders' revolt, and there would probably be a leadership challenge on the board of directors. But there is no stirrings of dissent. When's the last time we heard a debate in a public school board meeting?
There's no real debate anymore. And they
not with the audience. I'm saying between the board members.
Exactly. We ask them that all the time. And there used to be more information on the budget.
Yes.
But they have since, you know, dwindled that down. So when they're presenting the budget, it's like, you know, 20 to 23, 24. And especially with such a significant event as the pandemic, mm-hmm. we should hear what was it like before the pandemic?
That's
what
right.
What was it like during the pandemic? And what are we talking about these now 2 years after or you know, so shortly after the pandemic?
You're absolutely right.
But that's not how it's presented.
You're absolutely right. It's called perspective, right? Reflection. How did it go two years ago? What did we do right? What did we do wrong? We hear nothing from this board. No words.
Miriam, this is Louie. Here's my thing. You mentioned before about Columbus School. Now, my kids went to school there. I lived in the area for over 25 years there. I think what they need to do is, if you look at 7th Street, there's no parking on one side of the street where the Boys Club is. Have on-site parking for the teachers there. Why invest that type of money? And like what you said, you're going to knock down a house where people could live and all of this. Why are you investing that kind of money to do that? Have stickers made up for if you're a teacher, you put on your windshield or whatever like that. So you don't get a ticket from 7:30 in the morning to 3:00 you got to be out by or whatever. That's what they should do. You could park that whole length of 7th Street. That makes the most common sense to me, to invest in investing all this money.
100%. And we're doing this while we still have the kids who are at Huguenot, if you remember.
Yeah,
that debacle. We're paying $23,000 a year to Monroe for them to be housed at this place that has no gym, no cafeteria, no library.
That's totally
and
ridiculous.
We think we should be spending money to tear down homes to build a parking lot.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
Now, we've also heard that there are going to be some maintenance expenditures for the Whitney Young Auditorium, right?
Right.
I didn't notice that was so deficient. I've been there many times recently. Perfectly adequate place.
Curtains, I think. Drapes or something. Curtains. Mm-hmm. Curtains, I think.
They want to put a new sound system in there, too.
I'd like to.
Like I said earlier, see if you can get the people that put these buildings in downtown to invest in that. No, but if you don't ask, you don't know.
I mean, you know, we all have a wish list, but let's talk about what's necessary. And in my opinion, let's talk about what's necessary, like the deficiencies in producing students of excellence.
Yep.
We have a failing district here. We have children that are performing below par over and over and over. You're worried about drapes? Let's not worry about the drapes. Let's worry about getting those reading levels up. Get those kids to be able to perform well in English tests.
Of course. And chronic absenteeism, it's above 20%.
You've got to be kidding me. This is serious stuff, and they're worried about the drapes?
The board reports
and parking?
Every reporting period, we see statistics for absenteeism. It's a growing number.
And another thing you look at, Denise just mentioned it too, about getting these numbers up. Why isn't there productivity raises for these people? Instead of an automatic 3%, 4%, 5% raise with tenure that they have or whatever, why isn't there productivity? So if you're in a fifth grade kid and they're in a third grade reading level, something's wrong with the picture.
Well,
they get a productivity to get that numbers back up.
Louis,
that's what they should do.
That's a union issue, Louis. You know that.
Yes.
There is productivity, but here's the thing, talking about. That's the question, is like, how did we determine that this was the priority? They came up with this one board meeting, the next board meeting, they voted on it, and that was it. It's like a done deal.
And no public conversation. And Miriam, you know as well as I do, because you and I both stood up at more than one meeting, and they let you talk, and they completely ignore what you say. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't register.
You and I both know.
But I'll tell you, what gets their attention, Miriam, if you... You mention someone's name. That gets their attention. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
This is 1984. You get smacked down if you mention a board member's name. Why is that such a horrible thing to do?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. These are public. The last thing I wanted to mention is, since we talked about like priority, Albert Leonard has been TSI status since before the pandemic, right? So that basically means they're on probation because they cannot educate Black boys.
Yes.
They have yet to come out and say, here's what we've done. Here's how we've improved it.
No.
Here's what, you know, they get a pass every time and they get a restart.
That's correct.
But Alba Leonard has been in the status for a long time, since before the pandemic, when Barnes was there, the whole 8 years Barnes there. He knows he's been in that status. He said it. He goes, it's way before me, because he didn't want to take responsibility for it. And we never get out of it. They just get a pass from New York State.
Nothing, absolutely.
And let me ask you one thing, Miriam. Imagine a 316 million dollar corporation, the biggest business in New Rochelle, everybody, by the way, unless you count Montefiore, the biggest exclusively New Rochelle business in New Rochelle, Miriam, is the school board, run by an unpaid board of directors, and some of them think they did so good or bad, I don't know what they did, that they run for city council without completing a term.
With many of whom have inherent conflicts of interest.
Where are we?
I'm sorry. They have conflicts of interest. They should not be sitting on a school board making decisions about themselves. This is insane.
There's big conflicts of interest in terms of, like, right now, like, this big thing about Columbus, you know, the board president, he's from the boys club.
That's correct.
Connected to the Columbus school, and that parking lot would also benefit the boys club.
You betcha.
We're going to use it in the evening.
You betcha.
And so, you know, those are things that we really have to consider.
Absolutely.
And have to
think. And Miriam, when you stand up at a school board meeting and you bring it up, they just look at you and say, thank you very much, Mrs. Ward.
And if they won't...
tell me I'm the only one.
Yes, me too.
Not so.
We need more people.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Miriam, thank you for connecting the dots, because unless you go to board meetings regularly, you don't see these patterns and these conflicts. You're doing it, and other people will go... And let's hope we get a good vote tomorrow.
All right,
let's hope
so. Thank you for 100%.
Well, Miriam, I know you're out there. You're telling people. You're giving people some direction. Thank you.
All right, I'm told Bruce is on the line.
Parent activist.
Oh, we got a breakup.
Parent activist.
We'll take Bruce right after
Lou,
the break.
Just listen, Denise.
Yes.
Parent activist, like the previous caller.
Yes.
Great. Get a few more people involved.
Absolutely.
Like this. We have a chance. Right now, I think we're going into battle without an army.
It's tough. The number of times that I stood up at board meetings and commented, and they just say, thank you, Mrs. Ward. I just completely ignore you. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I know that feeling.
Like I say all the time, Steve, I tell you, years ago when my kids were young, the parent-teacher night, you couldn't find a spot three blocks around. And we had to drive about four or five blocks away from the school. You don't see that no more.
Nope. Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back after this quick break.
I want you so bad. Honey, I want you. The drunken politician leaps upon the street where mothers weep, and the saviors who are fast asleep, they wait for you. And I wait for them to interrupt me drinking from my broken cup and ask me to open up the gates.
In the dorm. This is WVOX at 1460 for Green Haven, Fox Meadow, and Larchmont Manor.
1460 WVOX.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? And where
636-0110. And we got Bruce on the line. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing? Let's talk to Marie, because she had a great call coming in.
Yep.
And I think we need to review the lesson of Santa Claus to give us some foundation and what to do next.
Okay.
Now, when we were kids, we all believed in Santa Claus in first to second grade. The teachers told us, the mommies and daddies, our uncles, grandmas, people at church, the teachers, they all told us to believe in Santa Claus. And then along came somebody like RFK Jr., who was a Santa Claus denier when he was a little boy. And RFK Jr. told us there is no Santa Claus, it's all fake. And it was a shock, and it was terrible. But the lesson to be learned is that anybody and everybody will misrepresent to you at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's your it sounds like that Bone song, you know, The planning department's connected to the parking lot. The parking lot's connected to the school. The school's connected to the council. It's like that Bond song. Mm-hmm. But they're all misrepresenting in some way, shape, or form. And the only way for her to do it is what she's doing is to do deep research, find out the facts, and then promote the facts. So in New Rochelle, you know, I'm listening to the whole call. It's a great call. She knows what's going on.
Oh, she's good.
You need to expand that. But you have to teach the other people the Santa Claus lesson, which is believe no one, research it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, this school board of ours does not furnish information. They only sell. They're only pitching their product. They never give it to us objectively.
If you knew how many outstanding FOIA requests I had, I'm quite not quite as proliferate as Cox, but believe me, I must have easily 150 outstanding FOIA requests that routinely I just get. We are still processing. Okay, I haven't gone back to 2015.
I believe it. We need to change
that. It'd be great if you got them $10 each.
Well, there are two seats.
Imagine.
There are two seats up. One was created by one of the victors last year who somehow just decided to quit after.
Yes, what was his name? Cooper?
Something like that.
Yeah, Cooper.
All I can tell you,
yeah.
I'd like to know the story behind that.
Me too.
Well, I'll tell you, New Rochelle is, you got a vote coming up, the school board, pay attention, research, vote. You know, don't let the Santa Claus storytellers get over on you.
Point made, absolutely.
A lot of that.
It ain't free, it's costing
you. We didn't have RFK Jr. in town, you know, he'd go after him.
Yeah, well, now we had someone running for the library board, which used to be part of the city government, Bruce. Last week, the candidate said, it's not a lot of tax we're asking for. It's $24 a year per family. Bruce, 20 years ago, that budget didn't exist.
Yes.
It was created so they could add more to the overall cost of government, and we just sat back, and it happened.
It got rolled.
Well, no, sure we didn't sit back and let it happen. That's not true. It was three votes.
Oh, of course, no, we tried.
It was three votes. Because I remember when it came up for the third vote, I said, because I had just moved here, and I said, but I don't understand in this city. How come if they lose, they bring it up again? If they lost, it's over. Why isn't it over?
He came out with flyers to the parents that they were going to cut all the sports programs and the band and everything they were going to cut.
Like, it was like the old Soviet Union. Yeah. We don't like your result, we'll run it again.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
And they're doing it again.
Wish you all good luck.
Thank you, Bruce.
We'll need it.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for the call, Bruce.
Well, I have to tell you, Miriam's call was an eye-opener.
Absolutely.
Let's hope there are more of Miriam's our friends out there who are going to call and start a movement for next year, not at the 23:59, but
you know the name calling has to come to an end. Okay, the name calling has to stop. The calling, you know, the candidates getting called names, racist. Come on, guys. Nobody here, nobody running for school board is a racist. Everybody out there cares about the city, and everybody out there cares about the children. This is absurd, and the name-calling by the left is insane. It's got to stop. It's got to stop.
That's purely, and let's say, Lou, our friend Vince, we can mention his name. Man's run again, honestly and bravely. He got a lot of guff last week, but I will tell you, he's a good advocate. There are a few others, but he stands out.
Please, Don Vega intimidated him on camera, for God's sakes.
Threat.
For God's sakes, he threatened him on camera, and again, the moderator did nothing.
Isn't that what our Attorney General of the United States warned us about?
That's correct.
Parent misbehavior.
Yes, parent misbehavior. Well, that's what Mr. Vega was doing. He was misbehaving.
Without a doubt.
Unbelievable.
We're going to be wrapping up now, everybody. First, I want to thank Denise.
Oh, my pleasure.
I wish her a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Steve. My pleasure.
Great show, Lou. Nikki behind the glass and Chuck. Great job, as always. And I'm going to tell everybody that Steve's going to say something right after me, is that go out and vote tomorrow. Just
please
remember, 70% of your tax bill is your school taxes. That's some, you know, that's a lot of money here.
Please
go
don't
out
miss
to
the
vote.
Opportunity. Please
go out to
get
vote.
Out and vote.
And
please.
This is something we wanted to raise. 60 years ago, there was a major federal court decision in New Rochelle promising our Lincoln Avenue district a school. Never happened. Now, 2 to 3 generations later, nothing's happening. I'm not saying it was the right decision. That's a very deep legal question. But the parent activists have to start paying attention and look for injustice and write it. And tomorrow's a good day to start.
And if you don't know where to vote, look it up on the Board of Ed website. I must have gotten 3-4 calls today. Where do I go vote? And I told everybody the same thing. Go on the BOE website.
Great opportunity.
Go vote. Go vote. Go vote.
God bless everybody.
Thank you guys for having me. It's good to come at the end of the day. I'm more agitated.
this ledge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door.